Hello and welcome to Believers Family Church. We are so blessed that you've tuned in today. We are a growing church lifting up Jesus in the beautiful and historic Johnstown, New York. God has called us here to set the captives free. We pray and we believe that today's message will produce great fruit in your life. He who the Son set free is free indeed, and we call you free. Enjoy today's message.
And this quote here and this whole message, it's all about one. And you're going to see some verses of Scripture because God says the word one and the numerical number one is the most profound, powerful number you could ever have. Because we serve one God. Not two, not many. We serve one God. One God. So, I got looking back at a few notes from way back, and this one here is far beyond all those from 4 or 5 years ago. And I remember this television program. It was an exercise program, and the trainer, his name was Tony Little. Anybody remember him? Yeah. Hey, all right, there's a, one of those. It's just us, Darren. Hallelujah. But you know, There's 1,769 verses from Genesis to Revelation that all have the word one in them. 1,769 verses from Genesis to Revelation that all have the word one in them. That must be important. One. So I got looking at that, and I went back and looked at the video that Tony Little had put out, a physical trainer, and his slogan was, "You can do it!" Remember that, anybody? Are you old enough to know that? You don't know, you never heard that before? Oh, you got to get with the program. Wow. Whoa, we got some of his equipment. Whoa! Glory to Jesus. But he said, "You can do it, or there's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't do when you're one." There's nothing you can't do when you're one. Now, I'm not talking about the two becoming one. That's later on. But when you are one in yourself, there's nothing you can't do. In other words, there's three parts to you. And a lot of people don't understand those three parts need to be one. They need to be one, not three separate parts. Well, I'm a spirit. Yeah, but you also have a soul and a body. And if your soul gets messed up, then you're not one anymore. So what God is saying is, this oneness is so important. And when I looked that up, that oneness, he simply means it's the nature of being one. So listen to some of these verses I'm going to give you today. The first one is found in Genesis chapter 1. Hello? Did you get that? Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1 and verse 9 says this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 9 said, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." Saying that again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How many gods are there? One. One. And he masterminded this whole thing that people try to disintegrate the whole plan of God. There is no God, but that they in a foxhole, they'll cry out, "Oh God, help me." And I would turn and say to them, "I thought you didn't believe in him." Crying out to a God that doesn't exist. How sane is that? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, period. And God said in verse 9, here's what he said. He's saying this. He's speaking this. And he's saying, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. So when you look at the globe, what do you see? Land and water. Land and water, all gathered together in one place on planet Earth, and dry land appeared. Wow, soak into that. Listen, if you want to get to know God better, just think about one person, God. And what he will do is he will filtrate to you and he will say to you what he said in the garden. And God created man in God's image and likeness. God created man in God's image and likeness. This is all one thing inside us. Listen, our mind's not going to... The only part of you that's going to heaven when you die or the other place when you die is your spirit. Is your spirit. So you decide your decision. But when I got looking at that oneness, I said, God, this is so profound. Because we could read over this and read over this and read over this so many times and still miss it. And when God said in Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to read this slow so you can pick up on it. But here is a key ingredient to all of our success and us even being in this building today. Genesis 2, verse 24. Therefore, for this reason, shall a man leave his father and mother. How many is that? Two. And shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh. So in marriage counseling, I like to tell people, stop being so selfish. Because you're both one-ish. See, it's no longer, you had to give up that whole concept of it's just me. When you said yes to that woman and she said yes to you and you became one flesh, what God is saying, you are now one. You're now one. Two people, but one. Hallelujah. As you get along in age, in marriage, you start to think like, and you say what the other person is about to say, but you just thought it. That's one. That's oneness. Wow, glory to God. I'm so excited today, aren't you? Glory to God. The two shall be one flesh. So my heading over that was, huh, one came from two, but two became one. One came from two, but two became one. So the thread goes through here. And I go over to Genesis chapter 11. You ever been to that chapter? Chapter 11? You ever read that one? God is about to show us in this chapter how powerful one is. Thank you, Father. It's the most powerful number in the universe, one. And God saw that it could turn into trouble. So he did something so they couldn't speak to each other anymore because oneness is powerful. Whether it's two people are one or this whole assembly right here, we better be one. Otherwise, we get nowhere. You watch this. You see in Scripture said, God, I didn't find this out until I got looking at all these. Wow. Glory to Jesus. Said, Father God, talk to me because I want to be one with you. I want to think like you. So Genesis chapter 11, I put down here, huh, one language speaking the same thing is oneness. One language speaking the same thing is oneness. You'll see this as we move along. Because God said, there's trouble brewing. We got a negative oneness. Genesis 11, verse 1, and now the whole earth was one language and
one speech.
Right, so they were all Italian. And they were all speaking Italian. And I didn't have a clue what they were saying. Because I didn't know Italian. But guess what? They did. But God saw trouble brewing here because he says, if we don't confound them, they're going to take over in a negative way. Hallelujah. Do you know overseas right now, ISIS is rising back up again. You know why they're so strong? Because they're our nation gets kind of fragmented because we're supposed to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice and freedom for all. But our nation is not operating that way, is it? So maybe this message is like pre-voting, pre-primary, pre-election. Maybe this message came up in my spirit because of that. Not in a dream, but letting y'all know, let's all get on the same page and let's be one. Hallelujah. If God be God, follow Him. If Baal be God, follow Him. Hey, choose. Choose. One. That's just the first verse. And the whole earth was one language and one speech, and they said to one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime, they made for mortar. And they said, go to, that's that language back then, let us build a city and a tower whose top would reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see this city and tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, look at what he's seeing here. Look what the Lord is seeing in what he's giving attention to. He said, behold, this is they take notice, the people is one. I said, God, how come the people is one? That sounds like it's poor grammar. He said, no, because the people is, not are, is, present tense, one. One. God is making mention of this. He's looking at this in Genesis 11. So he comes down and he said, behold, the people is one. And he said, they all have one language, Italian. And this they begin to do. I'm just putting that in there because that way I know you all are familiar with somebody that talks Italian. You may not know what they're saying, but you know it might be Italian. Glory to God. Unless, you know, this they begin to do, and now nothing. I love it. I was putting us in there, a church. I was putting us in there. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they imagine to do. This is powerful. Go to, let us go down there and confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it's called Babel. First thing I thought of was baby talk. They don't know what they're saying. They call it babbling. Sometimes that's what we do. And I took a look at that. He said, God called this Babel because the Lord did there confound their language of all the earth, and from thence they did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. Where are you going to go? Say we got 200 people in a church, and none of us are speaking the same language. How are we going to hang out together? How are we going to communicate? Hold up a pencil. That's the eraser. But think about it, right? Is this working in our society? Is this working in the church world? It doesn't matter how big or how small a church is. If you've got two people in the church, you're in disagreement, we're in trouble. But God said, if two of you agree on earth is touching anything, it shall be done. So I'm thinking, God, you know what? This is just so profound. And he said, listen, oneness is so important. So I kind of like looked up that word Babel, and it, you know, rooted out to be babbling, which means to utter a meaningless confusion of words or sounds. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you're just uttering a meaningless confusion of words and sounds? Babies babble before they can walk. They get excited just from being alive. And God knew the power of oneness here, and he saw that. He said, wow, this they imagine do, nothing will be able to stop them. And only God can confuse their language because they didn't know where their language came from in the first place. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know that oneness means agreement? Doesn't it? That's like a lot of times when you take a vote, it doesn't go in your favor. But Amos 3:3 says this, just one verse of scripture. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, I want to go north. You want to go south? I guess we're not in agreement. You're not going to walk together. This is profound. Well, God is saying, don't ever take scripture lightly. If you get just a one verse of scripture where there's only two words, and there is in John 11:35, Jesus wept. One verse, two words. Did you get the picture? Jesus wept. What was he doing? He was crying. So this short verse is there, and it was so profound. Amos, it's not Andy's brother. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Did you ever see that happen walking down an altar? Hey, the minister standing up here, I hope the bride and groom are coming in together and standing at the altar together. So she's standing by the back while he's standing by the front. They're not in agreement. Where two of you agree. Do you agree to take this woman? Do you agree to take this man? I do. I guess they're in agreement. Right? They didn't sign an agreement. They're in agreement. Blood bought. And God says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Aren't you glad that we're under the blood? Aren't you glad that God can fix anything?
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oneness makes heaven move. You know, I like these titles better than I like a lot of the words in the verse, because I think, well, this is a summary. Weren't you glad if I went down through all these and said, service is over? Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Can you say I'm free? We're not. Yet. He who the Son sets free, I'm my Father's Son, is free indeed. Oh, glory to God. We're almost done here. I just want you to get this figure one. Oneness is powerful. Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says, this is Jesus talking, and he says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That's profound. Wouldn't you like to see that happen when two of you agree on it? Now, it doesn't mean you're always going to think the same way. It doesn't always mean you're going to be talking to each other the way you should talk to each other. It's not talking about that. What he's saying, do you agree spirit to spirit? Are you one? Are you one? Two of you. Jesus, this is red letter, and he says, again, I say it to you. So obviously he's talking and talking and talking and talking. That if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. That is good news. There's nothing God can't fix. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing he can't fix.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. All of these things, all these epistles, all these gospels are all under the blood. So don't be condemning yourself. They're all under the blood. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just hold on to that with all you've got. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Guess what my title is? One accord, one place. One. Wow. This is profound. Now, that just told me one thing when I read that one verse of Scripture. Said, I wonder if this would have, Pentecost would have happened if they weren't one. This is deep. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. That's not a car. They do make them now. Should have bought a Honda. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that's profound. That's one of the greatest things that could have ever happened to the Christian church. The Holy Ghost came. They were all in one accord in one place. You know why? Because Jesus told them to go wait, didn't he? He said, go wait for the promise of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit. What would have happened if they weren't in one accord? What if they were still arguing about who's the greatest. If they were still arguing about that and didn't get that settled, what would have happened on Pentecost? And the Holy Spirit couldn't come because they weren't in one accord. Where two of you agree. So if they weren't in one accord in one place, well, we agree with them that said they got to be in Texas while I'm in New York. Well, your boundaries are way far apart. One accord in one place. Well, I agree with my brother, but he lives 250 miles away, so I don't have to talk to him. That's not one accord. I wonder if a lot of things aren't working today because we're not in one accord. Or two of you agree. Oneness means no division, but same speech, same mind, same judgment. Now, you don't find these verses of Scripture unless the Holy Spirit leads you there. You don't find them by accident unless He leads you there. And you just compile the whole thing together, you got the greater news that you ever held on to. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, verse 12 and 13. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." What's Paul looking for here? Unity? He's looking for oneness? "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided?" This will preach for a long time. "Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" So he's scolding this church because of the divisions among them. So guess what? If they got divisions, they're not one accord. If there's division in a church, if there's division in a family, there's not one accord. And if you haven't got one accord in a household, you got some serious issues. And it's going to cost us. Can you imagine arguments? Can you imagine arguments in a household? When Paul writes this to the brethren, and these are people that he knows, and he said that you all speak the same thing. We're going over. We're not going under. "That there be no divisions among you." Let's not get divided. "But that you be perfectly joined together of the same mind." Don't you think the same? "And you make the same judgment." And they argue over who they serve. But the theme here is oneness means no division, but you talk the same, you think the same, and you judge the same. Do you know how often they have to take a vote on the Supreme Court to get a decision? Look, if there's one disagree, they can't move. All in favor? Opposed? So this theme of oneness, what God is saying to us, when you get yourself together, you can help somebody else. When you get yourself together, when you're not messed up anymore, when you're thinking right, when you're reading right, when you're reading the Word of God, when you read the red letter, you're getting blood letter. Hallelujah. The entire Bible is all about Christ. It's all about Him, from Genesis to Maps. It's all about Him. Glory to Jesus. You're getting quiet in this Pentecostal church. Two more to go here. We'll be done. Y'all getting this morning? Everybody say one. 1 John 5, 7. Oneness bears record in heaven. Woo! Glory to God. Must be God is paying attention. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I want you to work on that for the next whole year in 2017. I want you to think about that. That in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are bearing record, and these three are one. So they're all God. And God is saying, we have to have oneness to be able to go forward. Amen. I wonder how many projects got stopped because there weren't oneness. I wonder how many said we can do it and some said we couldn't do it. But Tony Little said, you can do it. Don't just remember that. And here's the final one. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. That was really neat when I read through this and found out how many ones there were in those two verses, or from 4 to 6. Here's what it says. Therefore, Ephesians 4, verse 4 to 6. There is one body, there is one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in y'all. Finally figured out that God is no respecter of person. He could be Southern when he wants to. Y'all. Look at this again. The word one appears seven times in there. Oneness is empowered by seven. Isn't that neat? How many days did it take creation? You see? Now, I didn't look for that. It just kind of like popped up. I said, God, I like that. Can we use that? He said, my word. Oneness is empowered by seven. You know, the magnificent seven, you know that? Here's what God is saying. There's one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in y'all. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit went like this. My stamp of approval. You know why? Because he said, God's word is the final authority.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Yes. God's word is the final authority. If you got a question on anything about God, his word is the final authority. Yes. Let's give him praise, church.
Thank you for listening today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our services. We are located at 150 South Comrie Avenue in Johnstown, New York. Our services are Sunday morning at 9 and Tuesday evening at 7. For more information about our services and all about what we believe, please go to our website at www.believersfamilychurch.org. That's www.believersfamilychurch.org. Come and worship Jesus together with us at BFC. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.